From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium in Pasadena, California, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, we are all excited. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why we're excited. We're excited because we are back in Southern California. And we are excited that Southern California is still here. And we are excited because legendary pro skateboarder Tony Hawk will be joining us to play Not My Job. But we are also excited for Carl Castle, our friend and colleague. This week marked the 30th anniversary of his debut with Morning Edition. It was November 5th, 1979, that Carl Castle, wearing the tie-dye daishiki and the mutton chop sideburns that he sported in that era, walked in, did his first Morning Edition newscast. This after what was already a long career in broadcasting. And I promise you, what we are about to play for you is genuine. This was, when Carl was a morning DJ, this was his theme song.
It's the Carl Castle Show.
Talks and tunes in Goldsboro Radio.
Carl Castle plays the best.
The tunes that are your favorite requests.
WGBR is the place to dial, no matter where you are.
So Carl... How did you ever go from that to this?
Well, Peter, a few years ago on Morning Edition, I was doing a newscast, and I did something, and I got punished for it.
There you are.
And so here I am.
Help us start the second tri-decade of Carl's illustrious career. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, hi, this is Linda Kopecki in Longmont, Colorado.
Hey, beautiful Longmont. I've been out there. Lovely place. Are you one of those Colorado people who's constantly out there skiing and shoesing and hiking and biking and stuff like that?
I don't ski.
Oh. Aren't you required by law? Doesn't the ski police come and get you if you don't ski?
They do. Just don't tell them about me.
I won't.
No. I hike, though. So.
That's good. Well, let me introduce you to our panel this week, Linda.
Okay.
First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Next is one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, is Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne. Hello.
Finally, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mo.
Linda, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready
okay.
to go?
I am.
All right, here is your first quote.
Man up and say I'm fat. Say it.
That was the battle cry of one Chris Christie, who, while still perhaps big-boned, will soon be called what after his victory on Tuesday?
Mr. Governor.
Yes, Mr. Governor of New Jersey, in fact. The Republicans were claiming a major victory in the off-year elections on Tuesday, bragging about taking two governorships from the Democrats. Democrats, however, countered. They said the GOP had a mixed night because one of those states was New Jersey. Nonetheless, Mr. Christie was delighted to beat the incumbent, John Corzine. He had spent millions of his own money on negative ads, which dwelled on Christie's figure, thus Mr. Christie's challenge. At his victory rally, Christie declared, "The era of big governor is back."
When Christie sits around the state capitol,
yes, he
sits around the state capitol.
Okay, all right. How fat is he?
He's so fat.
Yes. Fat.
No, really, how fat is he?
Christie?
He's pretty fat.
Oh, my God. He's
a hefty man.
He's a hefty man. When he sits down in Trenton, Bayonne flips into the air.
He is his own rest stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Virginia, also a gubernatorial election.
He's exit 14.
Yeah.
He lives in South Orange, West Orange, and Orange. I love. Look, this New Jersey's a beautiful state.
It is the Garden State.
Yes. Oh, right.
The Twinkies grow in the wild.
Yeah, clearly. Not a vegetable garden, perhaps, but
no,
garden
nonetheless. Actually, to tell you the truth, you know what it is? They're changing its nickname. It's now the Olive Garden State.
When you're here, you're governor.
Exactly.
When you're that big. If you were Governor Christie, you'd be home by now.
All right. Your next quote is somebody defending some fuzzy economic math.
If I give you a raise, it's going to save a portion of your job.
And that was a spokeswoman for the Department of Health and Human Services. She was defending the funny ways that the government was adding up all the jobs it, quote, saved via what big program?
Stimulus?
Yes, the stimulus pack. We got it.
Oh.
Last week, Joe Biden bragged that the nearly $800 billion stimulus program had, quote, created or saved more than 600,000 jobs. This week, though, people started poking into the numbers. It turns out it's really complicated. You calculate how many jobs you've saved by adding up the stimulus money you get, divide by the number of employees you give raises to, multiply by a constant provided by the administration, raise it to the power of Biden,
and
kazing, the depression's over.
Yeah. And well, then you rip the whole thing up and say 600,000.
Exactly.
And 12 people are left on the bus. Sorry. Now, you know what bothers me about this is that this quote is from somebody from Health and Human Services. Shouldn't she be concerned with the swine flu?
Yeah, why is she even thinking about anything else? That's true. This is true. In the report, one shoe factory said that they saved nine jobs, because they got one $800 order of boots. But hey, elves work cheap, so...
I'm with Mo on the whole, shouldn't they be working on the swine flu thing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is this a recovery or are these recovery-like symptoms? How do we know what strain of recovery we have?
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, Lauren, here's your last quote.
You can call us anything you want, but you also have to call us world champions.
Now, that was a man named Brian Cashman. He was laughing off criticism of the team he runs. What is the team? It would
be the New York Yankees.
It would be the New York Yankees. The Yankees... won their...
Boo.
Yay!
Boo. Boo.
The Yankees won their 27th World Series, but that news pales next to the fact that the team's general manager just gave us permission to call them anything we want. So, we worked on this. How about...
a group of wildly overpaid, egotistical mercenaries whose pinstripes are actually artfully lined up steroid needles sewn into their uniforms.
That's one.
Sounds very practical.
Oh, you think? Or
those bastards.
Anybody else?
I got nothing.
He's
a lifelong Yankee fan. Right. Couldn't be happier, but, you know.
Now, this World Series, though, Adam will back me up on this. The World Series was seen as a redemption for Alex Rodriguez. He is the highest-paid athlete in the history of U.S. sports, and he historically has choked on the big stage. Not this time, but because of the attention on him this last week or so, we have learned some great things about him. For example, an ex-girlfriend told Us Weekly that he has not one, but two paintings of himself as a centaur in his bedroom. This is true. She says this. Yes. Why do you need two paintings of yourself as a centaur? Well, because in one of them, he's the horse's front.
Oh. So is he a switch hitter? Is
that... Apparently. He does both sides. Carl, how did Linda do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. Three correct answers. So, Linda, you win our prize.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done, Linda. Thank you so much for playing our game.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, 7-Eleven is the go-to place for raspberry Slurpees and heat lamp hot dogs. This week, we learned that the convenience store is expanding its business to offer customers its own brand of what?
Gasoline.
No, they do that. They already do that.
They have 7-Eleven branded gasoline?
Well, they have 7. You can go to gas.
Okay,
you
know, so they're expanding to cars.
No.
No.
One review of this new product describes it as a full-bodied, fresh, zesty, with notes of apricot, jelly, donut, and beef jerky.
Wine?
Wine! 7-Eleven brand wine. Or 7-Eleven label wine, I should say. It's a question that has boggled many of a home sommelier. What wine do I pair with microwaved Hot Pockets? You have the answer. Next week, 7-Elevens across the country will be stocking shelves with bottles of Yosemite Road wine, their own proprietary brand.
Mm. Why don't they just put it under in those spigot machines?
They could do that.
Next to the Slurpees.
The $4 Chardonnay is suitable for table service at your next dinner party. Or in a pinch, it can be used as wiper fluid. And the Cabernet comes in both the standard 0.75-liter bottle, the Magnum, and, of course, the Big Gulp.
Fortified, no doubt.
Just what you always want in a nice wine.
Don't you
think? Big Gulp.
Big Gulp.
Yeah.
I would love a wine Slurpee. Like a frozen Merlot.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
That would be, I think that would be great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, don't eat that Slurpee. It needs to decant.
I've got cheap wine and free time. Sam's, you walked away.
Thank you, everybody. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Roy Brennan from Reno, Nevada.
Hey, Reno. Biggest little city in the world? Littlest big city in the world?
That is correct.
Something, one of those two. What do you do there?
Well, you're not going to believe this.
All right.
But my wife and I own a 7-Eleven.
No!
Wow. Oh, jeez.
And so how is this wine?
Have you tried the 7-Eleven wine?
It actually hasn't come out yet. We're supposed to get it next week.
Right, and are you laying in a supply of stemware and amusing cheeses? Well, that's exciting. Well, let us know how it is. But right now, Roy, you're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Roy's topic?
I'm sorry, children. We had to replace Santa because he exceeded our new body mass index standards.
Like any modern industry, Christmas must constantly change and update itself to remain relevant, but not everyone is so eager or ready for that change. This week, we read about some folks caught off guard by the modern holidays. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of adapting to Christmas in the 21st century. Choose the real story, and you'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. First, let's hear from Roxanne Roberts.
You better not pout, or Mom will bust you on her iPhone. The iTunes Store has a new Christmas application, Naughty or Nice, which allows parents to report good and bad behavior to the North Pole and get video feedback from Santa, Mrs. Claus, Rudolph, and Frosty. Susie cleans up her room without nagging, Mom types in nice, and Mrs. Claus pops up saying, good job, I'll make sure Santa hears about this. Tommy slugs his little brother, Dad enters naughty, and an elf says, you don't want good presents? Because, and this is the genius of the $1.99 app, the number of naughties and nices determine which pre-ordered toys from Amazon will end up under the tree. Is it fair to blackmail our children? One mom wrote on parenting blog Moms First. Another responded, oh, please. I have 6-year-old twin boys, and I've already used the app twice. Thank you, Santa.
An iPhone app, which you record your children's naughty or nices, and then it orders the presents for them appropriately. Your next story of someone struggling to survive Christmas as it modernizes comes from Mo Rocca.
Ah, the perils of being a mall Santa in 2009. Overbearing mall cops. Knee injuries from kids fatter than ever. And then there's the language barrier. An elderly Santa can be forgiven for thinking that Sony PSP is some sort of hippie drug, or that Guitar Hero is a nickname for Les Paul, or that the kid who says, I want a Wii, might just go right then and there. Quote, nothing could be more depressing than being asked by Santa what you want for Christmas and finding he doesn't have a clue what you're talking about, said one Father Christmas. It was much easier when all kids wanted was Connect Four. Which is why in Britain, a crash course and helpline have been set up for Santas to consult with experts for explanations of consoles, MP3 players, and heartwarming stocking stuffers like Grand Theft Auto. And no, that's not the sequel to The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Santa's getting training. in Britain. Emergency crash courses in Tech Talk. Your last tale of Christmas in the modern era comes from Adam Felber.
The 10-minute Christmas Eve silent prayer has been a staple of the Plattsville, Virginia Baptist Church for over 90 years, but the cell phone age was destroying it. Until this year, when Pastor Jeff Branyan found the only reasonable solution: move the entire congregation hundreds of feet underground. The newly opened Grotto Sanctuary is the fulfillment of two of Pastor Jeff's longtime goals. One, take advantage of the beautiful natural caverns beneath the church's grounds. And two, silence those infernal demonic devices once and for all. Quote, "Even when you tell people to turn them off, they don't," says Branyan. "I can hear them vibrating in the pockets of my flock." Well, not this year. Those pockets of sin will be pockets of silence as the 350-member congregation rides the elevator down to their spectacular new chapel, which is featured in this month's Architectural Digest, for a truly silent night. Pastor Jeffy says, quote, "Yes, it's a long ride down, but ultimately it will save folks a much longer one."
All right. Let us review your choices from Roxanne Roberts, an iPhone app that records how naughty and how nice your children are being through the year and then orders the appropriate present for them. From Mo Rocca, a crash course for mall Santas in Britain on what exactly those kids are asking for when they ask for it. And from Adam Felber, a new church sanctuary so far beneath ground that you can't get cell service at long last. Which of these is the real story of a modernization for Christmas?
The naughty or nice. There's so many iPhone applications. I think that's the one.
You think that's the one?
Put down the sauce.
One. So I'm going to go with the naughty.
You're going to go with Roxanne's story of the naughty or nice iPhone app. All right. Well, we spoke to someone who was familiar with this new modernization.
The Santas needs to pay attention to what his grandchildren are doing. He needs to watch the promotions on TV. Can you train that? But it's difficult to train.
That, in fact, was Bob Minty from Santa for Hire. That's an agency that sends out Santas and needs to train them in the names of the new toys. I'm so sorry. As it turns out, Mo had the real story.
Yes.
But Roxanne, as she loves to do, managed to beguile you. But you did earn a point for Roxanne. You didn't win our game, but you did well for Roxanne. So thank you so much for playing.
Thank you very much, Peter.
And enjoy that wine.
Yes. Thank you.
And now the game where we like to show people who are the best in the world at what they do what it's like to be at a complete loss for once. It's called Not My Job. There is no doubt that our guest today is, in fact, the best in the world. Pastor President, what he does, skateboarding. Because this is public radio, by the way, I should point out that skateboarding is one of those fun things your mother wouldn't let you do. Tony Hawk is a 9-time gold medal winner at the X Games, a skate park designer, an actor, a video game mogul, and without question the coolest guy ever to wear a dorky helmet and knee pads. Tony Hawk, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Ah, oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's get some background. You've been doing this for a long time. When did you first start skateboarding as a young child? Right?
I was about 10 years old. Right. Just started in my neighborhood. A lot of my friends were doing it. My older brother was an avid surfer and skater, and he gave me his old board one day, and I tried it out and just sort of did it with my friends, but never took it that seriously until I eventually made my way to the skate park, and I saw these guys flying out of empty swimming pools, and I was hooked.
Really? There was something about people flying into the air above very hard concrete surfaces that really cried out to you.
That was it. That was my calling, yes.
Wow. And did your parents have anything to say about this?
They did. They were actually very supportive, and I got lucky in that because a lot of my friends, their parents did not want them skating.
Right.
And I was the youngest of four children, so by the time I came along, my parents had been through everything, and they just let me go.
Yeah, you know, I'm like that.
Yeah, it's not a first child sport, is it?
Yeah, it really
is.
My first child, very protective. My second child, very protective. My third child, I don't know where she is right now. She's six. I don't know.
Okay, I got to ask, because I've been dying to ask this question. How many broken bones have you had in your lifetime?
Officially, three.
Only three.
Wow. Three.
Only three.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Were any of them skateboard related?
Yeah.
I broke my elbow. I have two screws in my elbow. That was my sort of standard break right there. I fractured my pelvis pretty much all the way through. That was a bad day. and How? I broke my thumb.
Oh, well.
I know.
I did that. Yeah. Big
right,
deal.
Right.
What happened? Did the skateboard rolled over your thumb or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I was doing a complete revolution loop ramp, so a ramp that goes all the way around, like a Hot Wheels track.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it's something that I had done in the past, and this day I was feeling cocky, and I wasn't warmed up, and I was like, yeah, I got this, no problem, and I fell from the top, and that was...
Oh.
It fractured my skull, too. Does that count as a broken bone?
Yes, that does. Okay.
Maybe that's what you go for. That's why you've forgotten about a lot of other broken bones.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is frightening to have enough concussions that you recognize having a concussion.
Oh, this again.
That you're like, I don't remember what's happening. Oh, I must have fallen on my head again. Oh. I got it.
Now, you have done a tremendous amount in your skating career. You've invented a whole bunch of tricks. And apparently, it is incumbent upon the inventor of the trick to name the trick, right?
Yes.
So what are some of the tricks that you have named?
Well, things like stale fish, Madonna.
Madonna is when you do what?
Is it a stale fish Madonna, or are they two different things?
Oh, you know, you can...
Can you do that?
You can do a stale fish Madonna. It's really hard. You get tangled up, but you can do it.
Well, so did A-Rod.
Yeah. Ah, you beat me. Yeah.
Actually, the Madonna is kind of funny because it was a trick that I invented, and I was talking to my friend. I said, you know, I'm inventing a lot. I've been creating some tricks, and they never seem to catch on. People don't take to them. You know, and he's like, it's almost like just novelties. And he said, well, you got to name them something trendy. And at the time, Madonna was the trendiest thing out there. And it worked.
So there's really no connection. You're not like...
No, but you can do a Sean Penn. That's what backs on Madonna.
Well, you're really...
I'm not kidding. That's not a joke.
No, wait.
You're dating yourself.
That's a joke that will only make sense to people who were like reading people in the 80s.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, like new generations. Like,
is there a Warren Beatty?
Do you have a Liz Taylor and a Richard Burton?
So you were at the White House earlier this year. Well, what happened there?
I was there. He was doing a Father's Day event, and he invited me and a bunch of other sort of prominent fathers. And I brought my skateboard just because every time I don't bring my skateboard, people ask where it is.
Right.
That's just wherever. I mean, if I'm in an airport, where's your skateboard? And so I was like, I'm not going to go to the White House without my skateboard. I know that.
Yeah.
And at some point, we're walking through the halls, and I'm with my escort, and I was like, hey, will you just take a picture of me, you know, and ride it right across the floor? And he shot it, and I sent it out on Twitter, and it blew up.
Really? They got
People
mad.
People thought it was some desecration to the government, and I was like, I was invited as a professional skateboarder.
Right. I mean, what did they expect you to do? Walk?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. You've skated in the Oval Office, no matter how much trouble it caused you. Is there one place you would love to skateboard but haven't yet?
I have not been to China.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a couple of trips that almost came together and then fell apart. There's the largest skate park in the world is in Shanghai.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I would love to go see it.
What about skating down the Hoover Dam? Because it's...
Oh.
I've seen that. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking giant ramp, yeah?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's what you do.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
it's a skateboarder.
Well, giant drop, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. The only trick... It's a great trick. You can only do it once to paraphrase Daffy Duck.
Yeah. And it...
You ready to do this? Speaking
sure.
of fun.
Nuclear
sure.
reactors are probably good, too.
Oh, yeah.
The way they're shaped.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
No, but like Three Mile Island, yeah. There's two of them.
Tony Hawk, we are delighted to have you here. We've asked you here to play a game. We're calling...
Hey, you could put out an eye.
You've spent your career, as we've discussed, horrifying the concerned mothers of America as you inspire people to hurl themselves into the air. So we thought we'd ask you three questions about safety measures, sometimes rather extreme ones. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is skateboarder Tony Hawk playing for?
Tony is playing for Nick Alexander of Ventura, California.
All right. Ready to play?
Ready.
Here we go. The first question. You know that the most common safety device is the construction worker's hard hat. According to one industrial expert, it was invented by whom? A. Franz Kafka. B. King Ludwig of Bavaria. Or C. Gertrude Stein.
I'm going to go with the King Ludwig.
King Ludwig of Bavaria.
Mad King Ludwig, yeah.
Of Bavaria. No, according to Peter Drucker, management guru, the construction worker's hard hat was invented by Franz Kafka. We remember that Kafka was an insurance agent, and he insisted that some clients wear some kind of hard head protection when they went onto construction sites, and thus Kafka invented the construction hard hat.
Wow.
He also had another device that was not picked up. It was people should keep insecticide handy in case anybody around them were to be transformed into a monstrous vermin. Next question. Some safety devices go a bit too far, shall we say, in mainstreaming fears, including which of these? A combination MP3 player and taser. B, Kevlar capri pants. Or C, underpants with a GPS transmitter.
You know, the MP3 player, they'll combine that with anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. The MP3 player and taser.
Thank you.
This is the Taser Company's C2 model. It's got a standard taser with an MP3 player built into the holster.
Stop in the name of love.
The real question is how many gigs?
That's exactly. How many gigs and how many watts, actually. Yeah. All right,
Do you think the people who have those, they just load them up with ironically titled songs like that, or just load up the Lightning Hopkins or something, you know?
I think they just wait for people to insult them because it's not an iPod.
That's true.
And then they tase
it. Exactly.
You know what? There's an app for this.
All right, this is great. This is all, for all the marbles, last question. For the woman in your life who is really, really afraid, one Japanese inventor came up with what? A, an inflatable guard dog. B, a skirt that doubles as a fake vending machine you can hide inside. Or hairspray that with the flick of a switch becomes a flamethrower.
Wow.
Supposed to be a safety device?
Yes, this is a safety device, something to protect people.
Oh, gosh.
And a skirt that doubles as a vending machine?
That's just so outlandish that that's got to be it.
You're going to go for the skirt?
I think so. I actually have those books of Japanese inventions.
Yes, Japanese inventions.
Yeah, those, and that seems like one that would just fit right in there.
Well, you're right. It is, in fact, the right answer.
Thank you.
Although, you have to see it to believe it, and you can look on our website. It's you unhook and unfold the skirt, and you hold it up in front of you, and it looks just like a Coke machine. And potential attackers will walk right on by, unless, of course, they're thirsty.
And then they'll shake you.
They'll shake you. Damn it.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And then they'll assault you by putting coins in your nose, and that will be bad.
And then they'll shake you. Right?
Carl, how do you...
Nice girls don't wear vending machines. This is where I come from.
Carl, how did Tony Hawk do in our quiz?
Tony had 2 correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win for Nick Alexander.
Whoa! All right. Well done.
That was great. I don't know how you're ever going to recover from the adrenaline rush of that game.
Yeah, I know. What was more exciting, nailing the first ever 900 or this?
Oh, this by far.
There you go. Tony Hawk is a legendary skateboarder. His new video game, Tony Hawk's Ride, will be out soon. Tony Hawk, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
For joining us.
Save the dance. Oh, let's save the dance. Yes, save the dance.
Thank you so much. In just a minute, Carl resets his clock to daylight savings rhyme in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, attorneys for the city of San Francisco filed a complaint against makers of a particular product. They were upset that the makers had claimed that their product could battle swine flu. What was the product?
This wasn't cereal, was it?
It was, but what kind?
It was some crappy one with that's all sugar.
Yes, it was Cocoa Krispies.
Yes.
As more and more people have become concerned about the junk food we're feeding our kids, the food industry has tried to meet those concerns by lying. Thus, on this box of Cocoa Krispies, the quintessential breakfast candy, you could see the words, "Can boost your child's immunity," in big letters. Immunity to what? Oh, says Kellogg's, you know.
Muscles.
Diplomatic immunity. Immunity from being thrown off the island. You know, whatever. Now, you know, Cocoa Krispies, they justified this claim. They said that, well, Cocoa Krispies has vitamins. We put them in. And vitamins have been linked to the immune system. So there you go, right? The company has pulled back a bit on their claims. They now say that Cocoa Krispies can prevent swine flu as part of a balanced breakfast that also includes juice and the swine flu vaccine.
I don't even remember which one. I remember the Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs are the little round ones. Cocoa Krispies is a little rice shape.
They're basically chocolate rice Krispies.
They're chocolate rice Krispies.
Yeah. They used to have an elephant as a mascot. I don't know
That's
what they have now.
Yeah.
I never ate them.
No. That's why you never had the swine flu, though.
No,
there you go.
No.
My kids haven't got swine flu. They all have diabetes, but from eating this stuff, but not the swine flu, so... Roxanne, new research shows that as men communicate more and more by text messaging, a trend has developed. T-Mobile has found that 22% of men now include what in text messages to their male friends?
Smiley faces?
No, worse than that. Or, depending.
Ooh.
More affectionate than that.
Hearts? Little...
Even more.
Hugs and kisses?
Hugs and kisses. XOXOXO. Kisses. Yes.
Guys?
Yes, guys.
How many percent of
guys?
What guys?
No, 22% of guys.
22% of us?
22%
of guys.
To other guys.
Yeah. XOs?
Wait,
yes.
Straight
Hugs
guys? Kisses?
Straight guys. Yes.
Well, if it's 22%, it's got to include some.
I know. Men, of course, you know, classically have a hard time expressing affection to each other. You know, the fist bump, we've got that. That awkward A-frame bro hug, you know. No, but the anonymous medium of texting apparently frees up dudes to sort of suck symbolic face, if you will. The new group
I won't.
Of these...
Not phrased like that.
But those are these passionate thumb typists. They're being called metrotextuals. Most guys, you know, they start with just lowercase XXs, but then they lose all their inhibitions and are planting sloppy, wet, uppercase XXs on guys they just met at the fishing tackle store.
But have you ever done that?
I have not done
that. And what about you?
No, and I don't know that I've received many, which is vaguely insulting.
There you are.
Well, when does an X turn from a kiss on the cheek to a kiss on the mouth?
You mean a textual X?
Yeah.
When you add a serif.
Yeah. Mo, last week the verdict came down for a superior court judge in Tacoma, Washington. He was on trial for having a secret life, basically. Testifying in his own defense, he said, sure, he used to go to this adult bookstore and theater hundreds of times over the last few years, but he only went there to do what?
Oh, give me a clue.
No, well, he says it was good for his soul and his cold.
For his soul and for his cold.
Yes.
He was going for immunity.
He was going for Rice Krispies.
No, he was going. He was going for some sort of. It sounds like you're saying health, but his soul and immunity.
I'm saying he was going for something that it is, according to the phrase, for the soul. And also good
for
cold.
Oh, he was going for chicken soup.
Yes, he was. He says he went to the adult bookstore hundreds of times only to have their delicious chicken soup from the vending machine in the corner.
Yeah, sorry.
That was no vending machine.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so more like...
It was a woman who constantly had to make chicken soup every day for fear of being discovered.
Right.
The judge was found guilty of felony harassment and patronizing a prostitute, but let's just skip that past that.
Patronizing a prostitute.
Yes.
How
oh,
rude.
God, you
How
are fun. A wonderful yes. prostitute.
Don't you look terrific.
Yes, that's patronizing a prostitute.
You are a delightful strumpet.
You have
yes.
This seems like a very fulfilling career for you.
Anyway, we're going to skip that. We're just going to go to the chicken soup. The judge admitted going to this adult bookstore hundreds of times, but he wanted the chicken soup in the vending machine. He said it was great. So we at Wade Wade called up the owner of this XXX bookstore in Tacoma, Washington, and we asked him what made the soup so good. He said, well, you know, it's got delicious herbs and spices, a secret recipe, but mostly what makes it good is that it's surrounded by boobs.
So it's in the middle of Congress?
Yeah,
served from the well of the Senate. There you go.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Jack McClurg in Marysville, Washington.
Hey, Maryville, Washington. What do you do there in Maryville?
I'm retired.
You're retired. That's good. Are you enjoying your free time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. What are you doing with yourself?
Oh, well, tomorrow I'm going to babysit 4 grandkids.
Oh, my gosh. You are gullible, aren't you?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Jack. Carl Castle is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
Ready.
Here's your first limerick.
I am eager to see my kid grow up and to see when the smartness will show up. They say morning sickness lends gray matter quickness. His IQ shows a spike when I...
throw up.
Exactly right. Here is a word to all those newly expectant mothers-to-be who, as I speak, are on their knees clutching the sides of a toilet. Cheer up! With each yark, your child's IQ goes up a point. Researchers in Toronto suggest that children of mothers who experience morning sickness do better later on cognitive tests than those whose mothers did not. It has something to do, they suggest, with a hormonal cocktail created in the mother's womb by constant worship at the porcelain altar. You know what this means? Ambitious mothers are now flocking to KFC to scarf down chicken and biscuit bowls by the dozen.
Oh, God.
And Ipecac now has the label, may help your kid get into Harvard.
That image, oy, you're making me feel pregnant.
Here's your next limerick.
DNA can both give and deprive. Genes can stifle me, though I may strive. My tires may squeal, but I'm bad at the wheel. It's genetic that I cannot
drive.
Right. When the highway patrol officer walks up, shines his flashlight into your face and says, oh no, you again, you can now blame your parents. And yet another study, this time from UC Irvine, scientists suggest that bad driving may be genetically determined. There is a gene variant that makes people more likely to cut others off in traffic and drive with a blinker on and generally be untrustworthy in the road. And everybody listening to me right now is thinking, good Lord, only I in the entire world am immune from this.
30% of Americans?
Yes.
What's the percentage in Boston, do you think? I'm guessing it's higher.
Here is your last limerick.
Our ads don't go high in the sky, but they're airborne and flit past your eye. We'll use winged minions to shape your opinions with banners tied onto a...
sky?
No, not tied onto a sky. Something that's in the sky and flits past your eye. Rhymes with that.
Oh.
Winged minions?
Mm. No? A fly.
A fly, yes. Good news. Good news. The publishing industry has saved. One publisher at the recent Frankfurt Book Fair hit on the idea of tying little advertising banners to the legs of flies and letting them zip about the convention hall. It was a huge hit at the fair. The flies both raised awareness of the publisher's offerings and contaminated the buffet.
I don't know that that's a great promotional
you don't?
Trick. No, it's sort of like, oh yeah, I've seen that book title before, endlessly circling around a garbage can.
Wouldn't you be amused and say, oh my gosh, that's so novel, you'd say?
I'd associate it with, you know, the places that flies hang out.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Jack do?
Well, he wins our prize, Peter. That's because he had 3 correct answers.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne Roberts has the lead, Peter. She has 4 points. Adam Felber has 3. Mo Rocca has 2.
Well, I don't understand how that happened.
Mo, you're in 3rd place, so you go first. The clock will begin when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The UN announced on Thursday that it was relocating more than half of its international staff in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right, because it was getting too much inaccurate hype, what was billed as a debate between blank and blank was canceled.
George W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
Right.
In an interview with Broadcast and Cable Magazine, Blank said he'd return to The Tonight Show if they asked him.
Jay Leno.
Right. In a bit of bad timing for the Obama administration, while election results were coming in Tuesday night, NBC was airing Blank.
Oh, bad timing. Oh, The Biggest Loser.
Yes, The Biggest Loser, White House edition.
Okay.
Tuesday marked the 40th anniversary of the influential children's television program Blank.
Sesame Street.
Right. Okay. A Star Wars-themed Today Show episode went bad for Al Roker when he ended up with Blank.
He ended up falling into a black hole.
No, he ended up with a drunken Ewok humping his leg.
How did I miss it?
I don't know, actually. I thought you'd be all over that.
The 10 o'clock hour.
Like a great idea. Dress Anne Curry as Darth Vader, Al Roker as Han Solo, hire some actors to play the cute and cuddly Ewoks. But that was before the Ewoks drank a little too much, Ewok planet courage, if you will. Mm-hmm. The drunken Ewoks ended up fighting and throwing food, with one scene stealer moonwalking across the set and going for the gusto, first on the floor and then inevitably on Al Roker's leg. Yeah.
And that segment of the Today Show was sponsored by 7-Eleven.
There you are. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. Right. He now has 12 points, and Mo has the lead.
Right.
Savor this moment.
All right, Adam, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, people in Maine voted to repeal the law that allows blank.
Gay marriage.
Right. Warren Buffett announced this week that he was spending $27 billion to buy the Burlington Northern Santa Fe blank.
Railroad.
Right. A 13-year-old cat in Iowa has been diagnosed with the first feline case of blank.
H1N1.
Right. Former New York City Police Commissioner blank pled guilty Thursday to lying to White House officials.
Oh, what's his face? With the guy, with the thing. He's in the place. Bratton.
No, Bernie Kerik. Bernie Kerik. A court in South Korea has ruled that taxi drivers have the right to blank while driving.
Drink.
Watch TV. The company planning to open the first ever hotel in blank is taking reservations for 2012.
Space.
Right. Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin have been chosen as the co-hosts of the upcoming blank ceremony.
Oscars.
Right. A woman in Wisconsin called 911 to report blank for drunk driving.
Herself.
Right. When Mary Stray caught herself driving drunk, she knew what she had to do. She reported herself to 911. Here is the call.
911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Grattan Road.
Okay, you behind them, or?
No, I am them.
So what happened was is they told her to pull over, and she did, and a deputy showed up and administered the most redundant sobriety test
she had already given herself.
Ever given.
This woman was raised right.
She was.
Yeah.
Right?
Honest.
She was. You got to admire her. She's something of a folk hero in Wisconsin. Carl, how did Adam do in our quiz?
Adam had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Adam has taken the lead.
All right. So, we all know, because she makes no secret of it, that Roxanne really likes to win. So how many does she need to win?
6 correct
6
answers.
All right. Here we go, Roxanne. This is for the game. Although he spent more than $100 million in his campaign, blank was only narrowly reelected as mayor of New York.
Michael Bloomberg.
Right. This week, Congress voted to extend and expand a tax credit for people buying blank.
First-time homebuyers.
Right. On Thursday, the AARP and the American Medical Association endorsed the House Democrats' blank bill.
Healthcare.
Right. According to negotiators at the UN, it could take another year to finalize a treaty on global blank.
Warming.
Right. A passenger taking a ride in an Air Force jet in South Africa tried to brace himself during a maneuver and accidentally blank.
Fell out.
No. Well, yes. He activated his ejector seat. He was renowned French anthropologist blank died this week at the age of 100.
Is that Levi Strauss?
It was Levi Strauss.
Strauss? Yes. Yeah.
Fortune magazine named Apple founder blank CEO of the decade this week.
Steve Jobs.
Right. Officials in Florida are on the lookout for a 5-foot alligator that went missing when a wildlife officer blanked.
Dressed him up for Halloween.
No.
And went door to door.
No, when the wildlife officer brought the 5-foot alligator to his daughter's show and tell. Dave Brady wowed his daughter's class with the newly caught 5-foot alligator, but when he brought it back to the truck, that's when the problem started. Said one official, quote, "Most people don't think they can jump, but they can not only jump, they can run." Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed 6 correct answers to win. She had 7 correct
answers.
Oh, my
goodness.
So with 18 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what will be the big surprise we will find in the next stimulus report. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Medicare open enrollment ends December 31st. More at Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE. CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, 436 miles and 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our intern is Ashley Rayfeld. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Patrick Murray and the crew at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big surprise in the next stimulus package report? Moraka.
Money will be spent to give each and every American a special Department of Labor calculator. It includes every special feature except a subtraction button.
Roxanne Roberts.
The Wall Street bailout created new jobs for 36 chauffeurs, 48 private chefs, 76 call girls, and 144 SEC regulators who will miss all those violations as well.
And Adam Felber.
The stimulus created 7 million jobs by legally changing the names of 7 million people to jobs.
And if any of those things appear in the next stimulus report panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocco, Roxanne Roberts, Adam Felber. Thanks to Brent Fisk, Craig Curtis, and everyone at Southern California Public Radio. Thanks to our wonderful audience here at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. You guys are great. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week in Chicago. This is NPR, National Public Radio.